Morning. Today's daf in Shavuos is Chaf Beis. Back in the Mishnah, we had a machlok between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. How much a person has to eat in order to violate his Shavuos. A person makes a Shavuos that he's not going to eat something, bound now by that Shavuos. So, of course, he can't eat whatever he pledged that he's not going to eat. How much of it does he have to eat in order to be chayav? When we talk about chayav, really, we're talking about two things, two different things. We could be talking about the chayav karpa, meaning that for the person who violates the shul, he has to bring b'shogeg. He has to bring a karpa all of the yorei. If he does so intentionally, so he's chayav a karpa, I'm sorry, he's chayav makos. So the discussion over here really could be going on either. It could be going on either the chatos or it could be going on the malchus, and there is a machlokus in the Mishnah between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. Rabbi Kiva says he has to eat a kezayis. We know that bechol Torah kula, the shear of achila is a kezayis, so too, for the person who violates his own shvua, so the shear is going to be a kezayis. And as we're going to point out a number of times in the course of this morning, shvua is different than other yisurim in the Torah. Other yisurim in the Torah are objective yisurim, meaning when it comes to another yisur in the Torah where the Torah prohibits it, so that's it. It's an objective yisur. Mashenke, when a person makes a shvua and he binds himself by the shvua not to eat something, so it's a personal yisur. It's a private yisur. So, but still, the chachamim are of the opinion that once the shear is set at a kezayis, the shear is always going to be kezayis. So a person is not going to be chayav until he eats a kezayis. Masha Enke, and according to Rabbi Kiva back in the Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva says that the shear is going to be a kol shehu. This is a private isser. He's establishing the isser through dibur. In fact, the argument in the Mishnah that Rabbi Kiva provided was, where do we find this? Where do we find that you're creating an isser through dibur? We don't have that anywhere else. Later, the Gemara this morning is going to challenge that premise of Rabbi Kiva. But right now, just saying the Mishnah Kepshuto, Where else do we find that you say something in that speech, that articulation is creating an isser? We don't find that. So therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, since this is a fundamentally different type of isser, what's the amount that you have to eat? A trace amount? A kol shehu. That's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva back in the Mishnah. The Gemara wondered yesterday, this shita of Rabbi Akiva, was it kol ha-Torah kula, or was it only specific to Shavuos? Well, the way I just presented it, it's just specific to Shavuos. The Gemara yesterday concluded that for Rabbi Akiva, this is not a kol ha-Torah kula, this is just limited to Shavuos. There is an opinion out there, Rabbi Shimon back in Makos, we saw that not so long ago, that b'chol ha-Torah kula this year is going to be a kol shehu. But Rabbi Akiva doesn't subscribe to that. Rabbi Akiva says that b'chol ha-Torah kula this year is a kezayis. Specific to Shavuos, this year is going to be a kol shehu. That's the shita of Rabbi Akiva. With that in mind, we jump right into the Gemara. Amr lo Rabbi Kiva, eich matzin v'chule. We're on the very bottom of Chafal from Midbeis, two lines from the bottom. V'lo v'harei namala. So the Gemara says, really, we don't find anywhere else in the Torah where we have this idea of less than a kezayis. The Gemara says, what about an insect? We learned back in Makos, you eat an insect, so you're chayv multiple Makos. 3, 4, 5, you're chayv multiple Makos for eating an insect. So, and an insect certainly is smaller than a kezayis. So the Gemara says, bir yashani. Probably expected this the Gemara to give this answer. The Gemara gives this answer often, probably always, when talking about a namala. It's different. Why is it different? Because it has the status of a birya. It is its own independent unit. As being its own independent unit, so therefore, the shear is less than a kezayis. It's a kol shehu. And again, when I say kol shehu, I mean the entire insect of itself. Why is it that birya makes it different? So I'm going to point to a Rashi in just a moment, where you're going to see Rashi says that as a birya now, it's chashav. It's considered significant, and therefore the shear is going to be significantly smaller. I'll point to the Rashi in just a moment. So the Gemara says, v'abri hektesh. Now, what about hektesh? Meaning, if I eat hektesh. Now, hektesh, in terms of what liability are we talking about for a person who eats hektesh? So a person who eats hektesh b'shogeg is chayv a karbon, not a karbon olav yorei, but an asham me'ilos, a special karbon established in the Torah, dedicated to the person who benefits, who's nene from something which is hektesh. So the Gemara says, now we know over there that v'arei hektesh, so what about hektesh? Habina shava pruta. So the Gemara says, okay, but even by hektesh, meaning fine, it may be a smaller shear, but you still need a shear, you still need a shava pruta. So the Gemara says, so hektesh also is not going to be a good model for this discussion. So the Gemara says, v'arei mefarish. So the Gemara says, what about mefarish? As we already pointed out yesterday, we're going to point out today a couple of times. If a person explicates, he says, you see that bread over there? I buy myself with it by a shvua. I'm not going to eat any of it. He explicates. He says very clearly, not a kezayis, nothing, not a morsel. So as the Gemara later on will point out, everyone agrees, Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim agree that the shear now is any amount. That's what he said. So the Gemara says, so You see that even according to the Chachamim, they will agree that the Yisr could be a Kol Shehu. So the Gemara answers, Mefarish Nami Kibir Yadami. Now, once you say Mefarish, so it says we're treating it as now it has the status of a birya. Just like we said a moment ago that a birya now is going to be an Isser even at its really small state because it's so significant. When you're Mefarish, every morsel of the bread, every crumb of the bread, now will have the status of a birya.
And he said, I'm not going to have
a morsel. Right, exactly. So now the morsel takes on the status of a birya. Now Rashi writes, now point to the Rashi. Rashi says, Mefarish nami kibirya dame. Mefarish, it's the second to last line of the Rashi. Mefarish shvua kibirya b'shari surim dame. When you explicate by shvua, it now is treated like a birya with kolator kula. And Rashi continues to write, birya taima mai. And when it comes to birya, why? Why is the birya going to be also even though it's less than a shear? So Rashi goes on to say, birya taima mai mishum de chashiva. Here's the Rashi. Rashi says, because birya is chashuv. It's a unit. It's an independent unit. It's its own separate unit. Therefore, it has chashivas. Therefore, the shear is going to be less than a kezias. So, mefarish nami iu achshavei de asrela. Same thing with a mefarish. It's also chashuv. Once I say that I'm not going to eat any of it now becomes chashuv. So clearly Rashi over here understands that birya is a function of chashivas. Other Rishonim take other approaches to how to understand birya, but at least in our daf today, Rashi, bottom of Chaf Alpha Amud Beis, Rashi says that birya is a function of chashivas. So the Gemara continues, Vahare Afar, the Gemara says, what about dirt? Now dirt, of course, is inedible, and dirt's coming up a couple times in today's daf. Here's the first time the dirt comes up as a discussion. So the Gemara says, what about dirt? So the Gemara says, Ella Tifsho Debai Rava. So Gemara says, well, there's a question coming up later on this morning in today's daf. And Rava asks the following question. Rava says, Shvur Shlo Ochel, V'Ochel Afar, Bekama. Person makes a shvur, he's not going to eat dirt. It is an unusual shvur. We can all agree. It's unusual. But he said it. Okay. I can't, even in my creativity, why would the person make such a shvuah? I can't help you with that. But he makes such a shvuah. And then what he does is, as he goes ahead, and he helps himself to some dirt. When he bound himself to shvuah not to do so. Fine. Big comma. Rava later on is going to ask the question, how much dirt does he need to eat in order to violate a shvuah? And as the Gemara later on will point out, there are really two ways that you can look at this. On one hand, he said, I'm not going to eat dirt. He used the word achila. The default setting for achila is a kezias. Or maybe no. Dirt's fundamentally different. It's inedible. And so therefore the shear is going to be less than a kezias. That's Rav's question coming up later on. Right now, as the Gemara is entertaining our discussion right now, where we're looking for something, we're going to be chai for less than a shear. So birya, the Gemara says different. Hektesh, different. Mefarish, different. Okay, so what about dirt? So the Gemara says, well, we don't even know what the conclusion is by dirt because Rav is going to ask the question. And Rav is not going to give an answer. But at least as it's part of the discussion right now, so can't we now say that we have resolved Rav's question? So Tifshot Adi Kazayas. So the Gemara says, so now, at least let's say that if we're going to answer up for dirt, and we're going to say that the shear for dirt is a kezias, doesn't it answer Rav's question? So the Gemara says, no, ki kamrina b'mida debar achila kamrina. Debar achila kamrina, period. So the Gemara says, okay, but even if you want to say that the shear for dirt is a kezias or if it's less than a kezias, it doesn't become part of our discussion. Our discussion is, we're looking for edible foods where the shear is going to be less than a kezias. Dirt, the shear may be less than a kezias, but that still won't influence our discussion, because our discussion is only for edible food. Vare konamos, so the Gemara says, what about a konam? Now, a person makes a neder and prohibits something to himself via konam. As we learned in the beginning of Masechta Nedarim, a person creates a neder either by just simply saying the item is forbidden to me, or by comparing it to something which is aser. So, we just discussed it a couple days ago, this idea of hatfasa. So I compare it to something which is aser. I compare this food to a carbon. So that is creating a neder via konam. So the Gemara says, now what about konamos? So the Gemara says, konamos namikim mefarish dami. Now it's true that if I create a neder via konam, it is true that I'll be chayiv even if I eat less than a kezias. But the Gemara says, but because I used konam as my method of creating the iser, konam is significant. You know what it's like? Gemara says, it's like mefarish. It's like explication. We already established that when you explicate, you make everything chashuv, and therefore any amount is going to be aser. If I'm creating a neder via konam, same story. It now becomes significant, becomes chashuv, and as a result of that, any amount that I eat, that too is also going to be chayv as well. So the Gemara now just basically took us through a series of other isurim, right? Birya, hektesh, konamos, maybe dirt, but not really. Mefarish. So yes, there are other areas in halacha where the shear is going to be less than a kezias, but that's not going to influence the chachamim's position. The chachamim says that we're talking about a regular shvuah on an edible food. The shear is only going to be kezias. All the other examples we just gave are exceptional and therefore do not become part of the discussion. Amar lahen eichem atzina b'medabra mevi karbon shezem medabra mevi karbon. What was Rabbi Kiva's argument back in the Mishnah to the chachamim? So Rabbi Kiva said, where else do you find this? That speech creates an iser. Since this is so unique and so unusual, where speech is creating an iser, so therefore the shir is going to be a kol shehu. That was Rabbi Kiva's argument to the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, we never find that speech becomes significant in halacha, v'hare megadev. So the Gemara says, what about Gidov? Rashi points out, the Gemara towards the beginning of Krisus brings down the machlokas what exactly Gidov is. We are all kind of brainwashed, I'm speaking for myself, that Gidov is blasphemy. The Gemara in the beginning of Krisus has a machlokas tanaim on this issue. Let's assume, like Rashi says over here, that we're going like the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, who say that Megadif is in fact blasphemy. It is one of the 36 Chayve Krisus mentioned in the beginning of Masechta Krisus, and therefore if a person's Megadif Bishogeg, that's unusual, a person's Megadif Bishogeg, so he'll be Chayve Karmen Chatos. So you see now that Gidif is an Isser. And even though it's just speech, it's just articulation. So the Gemara says, Medaber v'oser kamrina. So the Gemara says, you're right, but that doesn't play a role in our discussion. Our discussion is, where does speech create an iser? You're right. Gidov is in fact going to be mechayev a person of carbon. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, the Rabbi Kiva's argument is, where else do you see speech creating something, making something usr? Shvu is the only example, right? So the Gemara says, v'hai, medaber v'chotehu. As opposed to the Megadev, the act of speaking is the chait itself, but it doesn't create iser. V'arei nazir, mevi karbano al diburo. I'm sorry, v'arei nazir. So the Gemara says, what about nazir? Isn't nazir a scenario in which there's articulation, there's speech, and it creates an iser? Now for the nazir, grape, and any grape product is going to be iser. So isn't that an example of speech creating an iser? Now it's interesting, by the way, because what the Gemara seemingly could have said is, nazir is like a shvuah.
That's the definition of a nazir.
Isn't it right? Grain. Right, correct. Right, isn't a nazir like a shvuah? So the Gemara seemingly could have said that. The Gemara is not going to say that. So it could very well be that nazir is its own separate category. Nazir, even though it feels like a shvuah, the person is now taking on restrictions through his speech, but still categorically, it's something apart from Shvuah. That seemingly is what, Gemara's not saying all that, but seemingly the Gemara is saying something along those lines. Anyway, but the Gemara says, Mevi karban al diburu kamrinan, v'hai mevi karban l'ishturi lechamra, hu dekamaisi. So the Gemara says, no. Still, Nazir is going to be fundamentally different. Why? Because when it comes to a regular Shvuah, what is the person creating with a Shvuah? He's creating Isser. Through the Shvuah, that now is prohibited to me. And because he ate it, he's going to bring a karban, based on the Isser that he created. But Nazir is different. Why? Gemara says, because when it comes to a Nazir, you know why he's bringing a karban at the end of his Nazirus? Wow. Because he wants, the Torah now is giving him a way to permit him to drink wine. The karban there is not on past behavior, or on previous Isser that he created, but just simply now, an ability to integrate him back into, quote-unquote, regular life, it allows him to drink wine. The on the daf, Rashi Tosfos doesn't discuss this, but the Rashba does. The Rashba says that you have to say now that Rabbi Akiva does not subscribe to the opinion of Rav Elazar Kafar. Rav Elazar Kafar, every time we talk about Naziris, he comes up, Not every time, not here. But Rav Elazar Kafer says, why is the Nazir bringing his carbonus at the end? Because he's a chote. Right? So that's Rav Elazar Kafer's position. Over here, Gemara seemingly, well, the Rashba says it. The Rashba says that Rabbi Kiva doesn't subscribe to that viewpoint. The Rabbi Kiva does not view the Nazir as a chote. Just simply, he wants to take on certain abstentions. That in of itself is not a problem. And so therefore, the carbon that's brought at the end is only just simply to allow him to drink wine. Okay, so once again, we're looking for a scenario in which a person makes a dibur, through that dibur creates an iser. Vare hekdesh, oser la'atzmo kamrina. If a person's makdish something, isn't that creating an iser? The Gemara says, yes, he is, of course he is. But still, that's different. Why? Because we're looking for a person, through dibur, creating an iser just for himself. That's unprecedented. The person declaring something to belong to Hekdesh is creating an iser for everybody. So that's different. Hare konamos. So the Gemara says, what about a neder via konam? Neder via konam isn't such an individual creating an iser, equating something to a karban, but it's an iser just for himself. So the Gemara says, so if he's making a neder via konam, so now, isn't this basically the same thing? Where through dibur, he's creating an iser, the iser is only for himself, and as a result of that, if he violates his neder, he's going to be chayv a karbon. Isn't that now going to be the same thing like shvua? So the Gemara says, kasavra ein me'ila bekonamus. A discussion which is going to come up a couple times in today's daf, and that is the following. A person makes a neder via konam, and now this item to him is going to be treated like a karban. Now it isn't a karban. A karban is usher to everybody. It's only usher for himself. If the person now violates his own personal neder, where he declared something to be like a konam, like a karban, so if he violates that, is he going to have to bring a karban upon violation? Subject to a debate, as we will see later this morning. Right now, the Gemara is stating that Rabbi Kiva takes the position you're not going to bring a karban if you violate a personal konam. Ein me'ila bekonamos. There's no asham me'ilos when it relates to a konam, and so therefore that also does not become part of this discussion. Meaning again, now I understand we're really whittling it down, but we're looking for speech creating iser, if he were to violate his iser, he would bring a karban. And right now, the only thing left, as long as that's our definition, the only thing left describing that is going to be a shvuah. And so therefore, this supports Rabbi Kiva's argument that shvuah is fundamentally different, and therefore the shir should not be kazais, but rather a kol shehu. Okay, so again, the Gemara just dotted the I's, crossed the T's, meaning now we've basically covered, is there any other occasion in the Torah where you be chayv a karban based on your speech? And the answer is no. Okay. And spelling out the shita of Rabbi Kiva. And the Chachamim would just simply counter, we don't know because, you know, the Mishnah ended the dialogue with Rabbi Kiva. But the Chachamim would counter with the simple, okay, but the shir is the kazais, meaning that's the shir achila. So yeah, it may be unprecedented, but still, the iser when all said and done is an iser achila, therefore the shir is going to be kazais. Something along those lines is what the Chachamim would counter to Rabbi Kiva. Amarava. A statement which we already know because we've already gone over this a couple of times, but here the Gemara now is saying it beferish. Amarava. Machlokus bestam. The entire debate in the Mishnah between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. How much do you have to eat in order to violate your shvua? The Chachamim say kazais. Rabbi Kiva says a kol shehu. That debate is only bestam. If the only thing you said is that this bread is usher to me through achila, but you didn't explicate, but if you're mefarish, so then the shir is going to be a kol shehu. My time and mefarish time at kibur yadami. A line which we already seen once this morning, second time this morning we're seeing this line. Once you explicate and you say, I'm not going to eat any of this bread, so you know what it's now like? It's like a birya. Just like a birya, the shir is a kol shehu, so too with mefarish, with explication, the shir is going to be a kol shehu. And again, Rashi said earlier this morning, the guiding principle of birya is that it's chashav. Because it's a namala, because it's an ant. So therefore it has chashivas. When you're mafarish, it takes on this chashiva status. V'amar Rava, back to the Gemara Machlokas, b'shalo ochel, ava b'shalo etam divrei hakol b'chol shehu. A person says, I'm not going to eat using the word achila. The shear is at a kezias, because again, the default setting of achila is a kezias. But if he says in a shvuah, I'm not going to taste, so this is now a shear as a kol shehu. Pshita, the Gemara says, it seems to be obvious. No. Ma'u detema litom nami kid amrei inchi. When a person says te'ima, we're going to follow what is the general vernacular of people. When people say, let me just taste that, what do people mean? They don't mean generally, here, let me just have a morsel. Let me have a crumb. Even when a person says, let me taste, taste means give me a significant amount to taste. And so, since the vernacular of te'ima is not to be taken super literally, where if I'm going to try a crumb, te'ima also usually means let me have a significant amount.
Enough to say a bracha?
For a bracha rishona, the amount is a kol shehu. For a bracha achrona, so the amount is a kezais. But just in other words, in the vernacular, when people say, "Hey, let me taste that," people generally mean, "Hey, don't give me a crumb. Give me a good amount." So the Gemara says that's the havamin over here. The havamin over here is that that we should follow Lashon B'nei Adam, and therefore the shear should be kezayis k'mash malan. And the Chiddush says no, that the shear is a kezayis when you use the word achila, because that's what achila means throughout halacha. It means a kezayis. But if I say etom, it means any amount. Amar Papa machlokus b'shvuos. The debate in our Mishnah is when a person makes a shvuah. Aval b'ko namos divrei hakol b'chol shehu. If a person asks for something via konam. Again, via kona means via, V-A-I. V-I-A. Okay. You could take off points for spelling this morning. So via kona. When a person asks for something via kona, he says, this is going to be usher to me like a carbon. So it's really a neder. We're calling it a kona because the method in which he's creating the neder is the method of konamos, hatfasa. He's comparing something to a carbon. How much of it does he have to eat now in order to be chayev? What the Gemara now is arguing, Rav Papa is arguing, is that we have now agreement in the Mishnah between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. It would be a kol shehu. My taima, konamos nami kevin delo kam mitkar shma d'achila kidem mefarish dami. Gemara's explanation. Because when you ask for something via konam, you don't use the word achila. You say, I'm going to ask for this upon myself like a carbon. You don't use the word achila. Because you're not using the word achila, that now means it's like explication. It's like you're saying every part of this bread is going to be asur to me. Every morsel of this bread is going to be asur to me, and it would be no different than mefarish. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges based on the following brisa. Shnei konamos mitzarfin. Shtei shvuos ein mitzarfin. Two konamos would be mitzarf. Meaning, I have two loaves of bread in front of me. I point to bread number one, and I say, this is asur via konam. I point to bread number two, this is asur via konam. If I eat a half a kezayis of both loaves of bread, it would be mitzaref, and if I eat a bishokik, I'd be chayav a karban. I want to say a karban, but remember, we're talking about a neder, so maybe over here would be a karban me'ila, assuming there's me'ila by konamos. As we already saw earlier this morning, that's a machlokis. Okay, but I can get away with just simply saying it'll be mitzarif. Towards what? Okay, I'm thinking out loud right now, but let me not think out loud. Right now, let's just simply say it's mitzarif. It combines. Shtei shvuos ain't mitzarfos. But I point to bread number one, and through a shvuah, I prohibit bread number one. I point to bread number two, loaf number two, and I say through a shvuah, that loaf is going to be also to me. They're not going to combine. There's no tzarif when it comes to the loaves of bread. Rameir says there's no difference. A konam is like a shvuah. Just like by a shvuah there's no tziruf, so too by a konam there's no tziruf as well. Now hold off on Rameir for a moment. Let's focus right now on the chachamim. Now, the Gemara asks a really good question. What a wonderful question against Rav Papa. Rav Papa, you said that if you ask for something via konam, the shear is any amount. If the shear is any amount, we don't need tziruf. Tziruf means that the two loaves can combine to make a shear. What do you mean, make a shear? There is no shear. For a konam, the shear is any amount. So then, why are we even having the discussion of tziruf? It's a strong question. So the Gemara says, "Da Amar Achila Mizu Alaykonam, Achila Mizu Alaykonam." So the Gemara now gives an ukimta. The ukimta over here is that this is an unusual scenario. Yes, you asser the loaves of bread via konam, but you don't use the standard. This loaf is asser to me like a carbon, like a konam. But rather, you articulate and you say, the achila of this bread is going to be asser to me via konam. So you're sticking in the word achila, and once you're sticking in the word achila, even via konam, the shear gets to a kezayis. Okay. And now what the Bryce is teaching us, according to the Chachamim, according to the Tanakama, is that a half a kezayis of one and a half a kezayis of another is going to be mitzarif. So, So the Gemara says, yeah, but even in our Kimta, I don't understand. You point to loaf number one, and you said, achila of this loaf of bread, via konam. You point to loaf number two, achila of this bread, via konam. So that means now, that in order to violate his neder, he's got to eat either a kezayis of loaf number one, or a kezayis of loaf number two. Basically, what the Gemara is asking is, they shouldn't be mitzarif. They were two separate nedarim. So the Gemara says, "Da'amar achila mishteim alai konam." So the Gemara again tweaks the ukimta now. The ukimta is, I point to both loaves of bread, and I say, I'm not going to have an achila of these two loaves of bread. So that's why there's not going, that's why there is going to be tziruf. I mean, once we give the ukimta,
it's like one item.
Right, once we give the ukimta, okay, and I guess at least the havamina would be, but they're two loaves of bread. And therefore they should be individualized and they should be distinct. Okay. To which the Gemara now says the kavasei gabei shvuos. Now you're giving an ukimta and the brisa. That's fine. The Amoraim have every right to do that. You give an ukimta and the brisa. That's perfectly fine. But you got to follow through with the ukimta. Once you give an ukimta and the brisa, every case in the brisa has to follow that ukimta. So the kavasei gabei shvuos. Damer shvuos lo chamishteim. So that means that you bind yourself via shvua not to eat from these two loaves of bread. Oh, so the shvuah is really going on both loaves. One shvuah on both loaves. Am I ain mitzarfin? So then I'm confused. So the Braisa says that there is no tzirf. Again, we're just focusing on the Tanakama. So the Braisa says there is no tzirf, but why not? It's one shvuah on the two loaves of bread. Of course there should be tzirf. Amar of Pinchas. So the Gemara now takes us through a chiddush. Shani shvuahs mitoch shechalukos lechatos ain mitzarfos. So the Gemara gives us a chiddush now, and that is the chiddush of Rav Pinchas, which is that when it comes to shvuos, because they're going to be individualized legabe chatas, they're also, that means that there's not going to be tziruf. Let's explain this a little bit better. Rashi spends a lot of time explaining this chiddush of Rav Pinchas. Let's take a look at the Rashi inside. Rashi writes. Rashi is right alongside where we are in the Gemara. So, mitoch shechalukos lechatos, mitoch, sheshtei kikaros alalu chashuvos shtayim. Vis-a-vis a carbon chatas, the shvuos now, shvuos are individualized. Rashi goes on to explain. A person makes a shvuah and he says, I'm not going to eat this loaf of bread and this loaf of bread. One shvuah for the two loaves of bread. And a person eats from the two loaves of bread and he eats a kezayis from both loaves of bread. So how many carbonos is he going to bring? Two carbonos, even though it's halam echad. Now, in halacha, that is most unusual. Rashi goes on to write, kedidnan lekaman. Now, as far as why, I don't mean why. As far as how we know this, it's a Mishnah later on. When I say Mishnah later on, we're going to see in tomorrow's daf. Shvur shalo ochal pas chitim pas orim pas kusmin v'achal chai v'kol achas v'achas. If a person makes a shvur and he says, I'm not eating wheat bread, barley bread, spelt bread, so, and he eats from all the breads, even though it was one shvuah, he's going to be chayav on each one of the breads. Even though it was behelam echad. Umaisina labatoros kohanim. Rashi continues. Rashi does all of our homework. The Rashi then quotes the Sifra. The Sifra says, and why should that be? So, mevahaya ki yasham el achas me'ele lechayva ko achas va'achas. When it comes to shvuah, there's a special gzeres akasov that a person's going to be chayav for every loaf of bread that he eats, even though it's balam echad. Now, v'chi amar nami mizu mizu shtei shvuos chashivei, and when he points to the two loaves of bread, and even though, in terms of the ingredients, it's the same ingredients, but they are two loaves of bread, vis-a-vis carbon chatas, they're going to be distinct and individualized. Hilka chiyach mizu chatzishir, v'mizu chatzishir, ein mistarfos. So since by carbon chatas they are individualized, therefore no tziruf. They don't combine. Aval konamos ein chalukos la ashamos. Laman damer yeshmila bekonamos. Now, assuming, like I said a moment ago, that there would be a carbon by kona, debatable, but right now we don't have to debate it. Let's assume that there will be a carbon. So when it comes to konam, there is no individualized carbonos. So when it comes to me'ila, and quite frankly, when it comes to any other carbon opportunities, if your multiple actions, your multiple isurim were done by halam echad, you only chayv one carbon. Rashi reminds us of the Mishnah of me'ila. Tzirifas me'ila lizman meruba. V'im b'shnei alamos afilo michad minayu nami. The Mishnah me'ila says that if I violate me'ila multiple occasions, if it's done by halam echad, one carbon. V'chein lenye malkos. Rashi points out the same thing would be true for malkos as well. Im b'hasra achas, chadehu delaki. You repeat violation, but do so with one warning, you only chayv one. The ibishnei asaros afilu mechad min arshare over v'chozer over kidenan nazir shayishosa yain kol hayom kulo eino chayv ela achas amr lo tishta al tishta v'ushosa chayv kol achas v'achas. Now, if there are multiple hasra'as, you're going to get multiple punishments. But if it's one hasra'ah, you're only going to receive one punishment. Now, again, it's an interesting Rashi. He's comparing malchus to chatos. Our discussion is really limited to chatos, but notwithstanding, the point being is that when it comes to shvur, there's a chiddush Torah, which is that you're going to be chayav a carbon chatas for every different loaf of bread that you eat, even behalam echad. That tells us that by shvuos, in the parsha of shvuos, every loaf now is individualized. Because every loaf is individualized, so for the chatas, every loaf is now going to be individualized, and they're not going to be mitzarif one with the other. Mashi enkein, when it comes to konam, assuming there's a carbon by konam, the konam is going to be treated like kolach Torah kula. If done behalam echad, one carbon. Therefore, the multiple loaves of bread can combine with one another. This is now how we're explaining the brisa. Okay. Now that we're here, let's go back to the Gemara. Let's continue in the Gemara. Shani Shvuos mitoch shechaluk zechatos name and starfas. Ihachi, Rabbi Meir Omer, konamos kishvuos. Now let's go on to the next sheet of the Brisa. Next sheet of the Brisa is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says a konam is like a shvuah. To which the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Bishlam shvuos ol vechaluk zechatos lechatos. Shvuos, we just got done spending a lot of time explaining that shvuos is unique. The reason why there's no tzirif when it comes to shvuos is because since for the chatas they are individualized, therefore, they're not going to combine. But that's a unique halacha when it comes to shvuos. But ela konam is a milo. But when it comes to konam, konam is treated like the rest of the Torah. They will combine for a chatas if they're going to combine for a chatas, so they should be mitzaref. So basically what the Gemara is asking is, I don't understand Reb Meir. How can Reb Meir say that we're going to treat konam as like shvuos? They're not to be treated the same. Shvuos is unique. Epoch Rebbe Meir. I'm sorry, Epoch. So the Gemara says, based on this very strong question, what we're going to do is that we're going to take Rameir Shita, and we're just going to flip the words around. Generally speaking, pun intended, the Gemara is not flippant about just taking words of the Brisa and flipping them around. But the question is really strong. So therefore, what the Gemara now is going to attempt to do is just switch around. Rabbi Meir Omer, Shvuos, Kik Konamos. What Rameir Shita is that a Shvuos is like a Konam. Just like by a konam there would be tziruf, so too by shvuos there would be tziruf. What? There's going to be tziruf by shvuos? But what about Rav Pinchas? So the Gemara says, v'leis el de Rav Pinchas. And what Rav Meir is really saying is, I don't subscribe to the chiddush of Rav Pinchas. Rav Pinchas says that by shvuos, they are individualized via karbanos, therefore there's no tziruf. What Rav Meir now is saying is, I don't subscribe to that shita of Rav Pinchas. Now Rav Pinchas, of course, is an Amora. Rav Meir's a Tana. But as a Tana, it's within his right to simply say, I don't hold like that. I don't hold like that shita. If Rav Meir doesn't hold to that shita, that means that there's always going to be tziruf, and they will always combine. Okay, so far, we have now established that the when it comes to a konam, the shear is a kol shehu. What about the brisa we just learned together? So one way to address the brisa is that we gave a significant ukimta on the brisa. The brisa was talking about two loaves of bread. A person asks the two loaves of bread to him. So what the Gemara is saying is that the ukimta of the brisa, the one approach, is that the ukimta of the brisa is talking about with one shvua included in the world, and included in the shvua is the word achila. He asks both loaves of bread to him, either through a shvua or through a kona. For a shvua, they're not going to be mitzar, according to the Tanakhama. They're not going to be mitzaref because shvuas is unique. Shvuas are individualized for the karban. Therefore, not going to be mitzaref. Konamas, however, we treat like kolatar kula. A person, they would not be individualized via karban. Therefore, they could be mitzaref one with the other. And Rav Meir disagrees with that principle. That's one approach. The Gemara now gives us a second approach on the brisa. Ravina Markikama Rapapa Lingin Malkus. Now, when Rapapa was discussing this idea that if a person asks a konam, any amount would be asked to him, he wasn't talking about a carbon chatas. For a carbon chatas, you need the shear of a kezias. He was talking about Malkus. So Kitanya Ilingin Carbon, Dibi'ina Sheva Pruta. As far as the brisa is concerned, where the brisa is talking about shear and kezias, that's only as it relates to a carbon. We already made the distinction earlier in the Masechta. It could very well be that for Malkus there is a kol shehu, but meanwhile for a carbon, you need the shear of a kezias. That is a second approach to how to deal with the brisa and still subscribe to Rav Papa's chiddush. That if you ask for something via konam, the shear could be a kol shehu. So the Gemara says, okay, all this works, assuming that if you violate a personal konam, you're going to be chayiv an usha me'ila. As we pointed out in the beginning of the daf, and now the Gemara is going to spell it out, that's debatable. And now we get to see the debate inside. Vatanya. The Gemara quotes now, Kikar zu hektesh. I point to a loaf of bread and I say this loaf of bread is hektesh. V'achla. And you eat the loaf of bread. Beinu bein chavero. Ma'al. If you eat the loaf of bread, your friend eats the loaf of bread, anyone violated the Isra of Me'ilah. Because by declaring the loaf of bread to be hektesh, it means this is now property of the Beis HaMikdash. Not anybody else can eat from it because it's hektesh. So therefore, if you or somebody else ate of it, Me'ilah, you're a molda hektesh. You misappropriated. Lefichach. And as a totsa'a, as a result of this, there's also going to be pigeon, there's going to be redemption. Meaning, now that something is property of the Beis HaMikdash, anything that is property of the Beis HaMikdash can be redeemed. Kikar zu alai hektesh. But if a person is now making a personal neder, this loaf of bread is going to be hektesh to me. It's a neder. So under those circumstances, if he eats the loaf of bread, he just violated me'ilah. Now, what does that mean, me'ilah? Meaning it's a neder. It's not hektesh. Yes, it's a neder, but he said, I'm treating this to me like a karban. According to the Tanakhama, to him now it will have the status of a karban. Thereby, if he eats it, just like if he were to benefit from a karban, he's mal behektesh, so too for this loaf of bread, to him, he's mal behektesh. However, chaver lo mal. If his friend were to eat it, his friend wouldn't be mal, because this is a personal neder. So it's not usher to other people. Lefichach ein la pigeon divrei meir. And it's not subject to pigeon. Pigeon is only something that's property of the Beis HaMikdash. This is not property of the Beis HaMikdash. This is a personal neder. And so therefore, there's no pigeon. Divrei Rav Meir. That's all the shita of Rav Meir. Vechachamim omrim. We turn to the top of Chav Beis Amid Beis. The Chachamim say no. Bein hu, bein chavero, lo ma'al. It doesn't matter if it's you, it doesn't matter if it's your friend. There is no me'ilah. Lefisha me'ilah b'konamos. Because this is a neder. Even though he did it through konam, via konam, it's still, when all said and done, distilled, it's just a neder. There's no me'ilah by a neder. Ein me'ilah b'konamos. What did we just learn together? That according to the Chachamim, something that is usher to you via konam, as a personal neder, is not subject to Mi'ilah, even on a personal level, and therefore he does no carbon Mi'ilos. You just told me previously in the Brisa that according to the Chachamim, they're Mitzarif. And you just told me that it's Mitzarif Lagabe what? Lagabe carbon. That all presupposes, it all assumes that there's a carbon. We just learned together that according to the Chachamim, there is no carbon. That's a problem. Epoch. So the Gemara says, okay, on this Brisa that we just learned, we're going to flip around the Shitos. Okay, so we have to flip around the Shitos. So now the Chachamim are taking the position that there is a carbon Me'ilah on a personal Neder. Again, when I say personal Neder, I mean it's personal Neder via Konam, but there is a carbon Me'ilah on such a Neder. And that is the sheet of the Chachamim. And Rameir disagrees. Ihachi, the Gemara says, okay, if that's true, Rabbi Meir, Omer, Konamos, Keshvuos, Ela, Konamos, Itzurfu, Hudalom, Itzarfe, Ha, Me'ila, Isbahu. So the Gemara says, but wait one second. Rabbi Meir, in the first Brisa that we learned, says that they're not Mitzarif. The two loaves are not Mitzarif. But of course, that means that each individual loaf, there would be a carbon. But Vahama, Rabbi Meir, Me'ila, Konamos, Klal. So the Gemara says, but didn't we just learn together that after flipping over the Shitas, Rabbi Meir says that there is no carbon Me'ilah when it comes to a Neder Vayakona. So the Gemara says, L'divrem d'Rabban Kamar Lahu. So the Gemara says that when Rabbi Meir was attacking the position of the Chachamim, he was not espousing his own personal viewpoint. Lidi d'en Me'ilah b'konamas klal. Look, as far as I'm concerned, I'm out of this whole discussion to begin with. Because my own personal opinion is that there is no Asha Me'ilos on a personal Neder. However, Liditchu, but I know you disagree with me on that point. But within your position, Odili Mi'az de Konamas Keshuos, do you have to agree to me that a Konam is like a Shvuah, just like by a Shvuah, there's not going to be Tziruf, so to by the Neder, there's not going to be Tziruf. V'Rabbanan, and the Chachamim's counter-argument to that is, Shvuos Ika Dura Pinchas, Konamas like a Dura Pinchas. And the Chachamim will just simply bounce back at Rabbi Meir and say, no, they're fundamentally different. Going back to what we discussed a couple of minutes earlier this morning. Because the Chachamim do subscribe to the rule of Rav Pinchas. Rav Pinchas tells us that by Shvuah, the loaves of bread are individualized vis-a-vis carbon. So therefore, by Shvuah, they're not going to be Mitzarif. Konam, on the other hand, they are not individualized. A person eats from multiple loaves of bread, Behelam Echad, he's only Chayv one carbon. Therefore, by Konam, they are going to be Mitzarif. So once you subscribe to the rule of Rav Pinchas, so you now know that Shavuos and Konamas are fundamentally different.
If Rav Pinchas is an Amora, why are they quoting him?
They're not quoting him. They're just simply subscribing to his viewpoint. Meaning that the Chachamim held of his viewpoint well before Rav Pinchas.
When he was holding of their...
Right. Historically, that's the better way to say it. Right. Amar Rava, Shavuos shalo ochav acha afer pater. A person makes a shvuah that he's not going to eat, and then he eats dirt, he's going to be potter. Fine. In other words, because a shvuah that I'm not going to eat assumes edible food. If you're eating dirt, it's not edible, therefore you didn't violate your shvuah. By Rav, a shvuah shlo ochel afar. Let's say the person makes a shvuah that he's not going to eat dirt. So he explicated. Again, as I pointed out earlier this morning, it's highly unusual, but that's not the point. He did it. He said it. He's not going to eat afar. So certainly, now... included in his shvuah, or not included, but since the shvuah now is going on dirt, he can't eat dirt. I know that's unusual, but that's his shvuah. Now, bekama, how much dirt does he need to eat in order to violate his shvuah? And the two sides of the question are really simple. He did use the word achila, is the default setting of achila kezayis. On the other hand, that's only... It's only for edible foods. This is an inedible food. And maybe, even though he used the word achila, still the shear would be a kosher. Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Next question. By Rava. Shur shal ochel chartzan bekama. We're not talking about a nazir. We will talk about a nazir in just a moment. But a person says, I'm not going to eat grape seeds. And he does so by making a shvua. So he binds himself with a shvua not to eat grape seeds. Again, grape seeds is unusual. They're inedible. But still, that's a shvua. How much grape seeds does he need to eat in order to be chayev? Now, grape seeds is interesting because grape seeds, at least for the nazir, is part of the nazir's diet. If a nazir were to eat a kezias of grape and grape seeds, meaning that the sum total volume of the grape and grape seeds is totaling a kazayas, the Nazir violated his Nazirus. So what the Gemara now is entertaining is that we see in other areas of halacha, the grape seed does get you to a kazayas. So maybe when the shvua is, I'm not going to eat grape seeds, maybe the shear is a kazayas. On the other hand, people don't sit down to a bowl of grape seeds. That's usually not what's on, what's for dinner tonight. And so therefore, maybe the shear would not be kazayas, but a kolshu. Teku, once again, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. By Rav Ashi. Nazir sham shvur shlo ochel chartzan bikama. Let's now talk about a nazir. Now, a nazir, once he takes on his nazirus, is bound by the Torah not to eat grape skins, grape seeds, any product of the grape. And then, after becoming a nazir, he then takes on a new shvua, I'm not going to eat grape seeds. Now, so one way the Gemara looks at this is as follows. Look, the grape seeds now is already asatim because he's a nazir. So when he accepts this new shvua, the shvua is going on something which is mutter to him. What's mutter to him? A grape seed smaller than that of a kazayis. And so maybe the shvua is being chal on grape seeds less than a kazayis. That's one possibility. Or maybe no. Maybe when he said grape seeds, he was going on the amount that's normally eaten, meaning the shear of achila, which is a kazayas. Now for him already, because he's a nazir, it's already also to him. And now, seemingly what the Gemara is saying is, therefore the shvua is not going to be chal. Because since he's already bound by the Torah not to eat it, this is a shvua on something which is also. And therefore, the shvua is not going to be chal. Tashma. Shvur shalo ochel v'achol nevel shtreifish katzim v'ramasim chayev. Rabbi Shimon Poter. A person makes a shvur that he's not going to eat. And then he helps himself to something which is not kosher. According to the Tanakama, he violates a shvur. To which, and Rabbi Shimon says he's pater. Ve'avinam ba. Now on the sheet of the Chachamim, this should sound familiar because we just went over this yesterday. On the sheet of the Chachamim, we asked a really simple question. I don't understand. Amai chayev. Mushba v'omin marisinaihu. It's already asr to him. How can the shvua asr something which is already asr? This is a shvua which is chal on a shvua. Where did we make the oath? Going back to Har Sinai. We pledged. We're not going to eat treif. We bind ourselves with a shvua. So it's mushba v'omid hume Har Sinai. So how can the person now making the shvua he's not going to eat, how can that shvua cover non-kosher food? So there are two approaches to this. Rav Ushmol v'Rav Yochanan d'Armi b'chol d'var ma'mutar im d'var ma'asurim. So according to the Amoraim of Rav Shmuel and Rav Yochanan, this is what we will refer to as an Isser Kolo. Since the Shvuah applies to kosher food, the Shvuah is also going to apply to non-kosher food as well. So this principle of Isser Kolo will allow us to include non-kosher food, even though it's Mushba V'Omid. Reish Lakish Amar, Yatamotze Ela B'Mefarsh Chati Shir V'Aliba D'Rabbanan, Ibestam V'Aliba D'Rabbi Akiva, Da'amar Adam Oso Davar B'Chol Shehu. And Reish Lakish takes a different approach, and that is as follows. How can his shvua apply to non-kosher food? Because what does the Torah prohibit to us when it comes to non-kosher food? A kazayas. If, however, he's adding another shvua, it must be adding a new dimension. What new dimension is it adding? Even less than a kazayas. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva, you don't even have to explicate, meaning that's already by default. If you hold like the Chachamim, so in a case of explication, where he says, I'm not eating any amount. So now the dimension that the shvuah is adding is that he now no longer can eat even less than a kazayis.
Are we comparing communal shvuah like at Sinai?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Now the Gemara says, V'hanavel demushba v'omen mar Sinai hu, d'chichartzan l'gabe nazir damya. Gemara makes an excellent comparison. To you and me, nevela trefa is no different than a nazir towards grape product. Just like you and I are usher to nevel and trefa, the nazir cannot eat any grape product. The time of the parish, halo parish daita akazayas, shmamina. So the Gemara says, so what do we see over here? That just like to you and me, when we're making a shvua, and again, this is all working within Reish Lakish, just like to you and me, when we're making a shvua on treif, we, by definition, is setting the standard at a kazayas, unless we're mefarish. Same thing with the nazir. when he's making a shvua on the grape, it's already prohibited to him. His shvua is the full setting going on kazayis, which basically means the shvua is not chal because it's already asur to him. Ela tifsha debai Rava, shvua shel ochel afar bekama. So the Gemara says, now let's go back to Rava. Rava asked a question about dirt. He says, with the shvua, I'm not eating dirt. And we asked the question, well, how much dirt does he have to eat to violate the shvua? Adika kazayis. Well, didn't we just conclude that when a person asks something to him that's asur, the default setting is a kazayis? So here, when the person makes a shvua on dirt, isn't the default setting a kazayis? The Gemara says, lo. Afar la barchilu klal. Nevela basachilu va'ar Yehud derav yi'ilava. Gemara says, no, I could still see a really easy difference, differentiation. When it comes to treif and nevela, it's edible. It's probably delicious. Right, and the only reason why we're not eating it, and it's a good reason, is because Arya Ravya Ilava. There's a line standing on top of the treif. That line, of course, is the Torah. It's the Tzivoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't eat it, but it's edible. So when you're making a shvua on Nevel and Treifa, the default setting is going to be Kazayis because it's an edible food. But when it comes to dirt, it's inedible. So therefore, we could still entertain the question of Rava, that when a person making a shvua on dirt, this year is going to be even less than a kazayis.